It's funny the little things that people pick up on and say, oh, your family does that? I do that too. And I think there's just that's I think that's a lot of the engine that drives the kichels, that it's popularity. When we see the small things that we never even realize we're doing, probably our favorite email we've ever received from a woman who wrote that, I believe she was a Giores and her husband's a Baal Tshuva, and she always felt like a little self-conscious, we're different, and you're showing us that we're just exactly like everyone else, which is really
Like she would
beautiful.
see everybody looking so perfect and having it all together. And when she read the kichel, she's like, wait, so everybody doesn't have it all together? Like I'm normal. So that was very, very meaningful to us to get that letter. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel Fletcher.
And I'm Raphael Silver.
What are we supposed to talk about now?
I don't know. I know this podcast is about having deep, meaningful conversations.
Yeah, well, that's not exactly my thing.
Same. I don't really want to have a DMC with you, or with any other guy either.
Yeah, when's the last time we hung out for coffee and discussed the topics we're all thinking about?
Never.
Okay, well, I guess that concludes today's episode.
Okay, guys, we'll take it from here. Welcome to Deep, Meaningful Conversations. We'd like to give a big thank you to Town Appliance for being our podcast sponsor. So when you're purchasing a home appliance, you just want to get it right the first time. You want the right price, really important. You'd never want to overspend if you don't have to. You want the right answers to your questions. You want it all hassle-free. And that's why Town Appliance, which has been around for over 40 years, is the obvious choice. Town Appliance is the largest appliance retailer in the tri-state area. They offer their customers the lowest price for any appliance they choose.
Town Appliance is known for providing the best, most honest, and most efficient customer service there is. Town Appliance carries all major appliance brands displayed in three large showrooms in Lakewood, Cedarhurst, and Baltimore. They offer a wide selection of appliances in-store and online for those of you not in those three locations. So when you're in the market for a new home appliance, think Town Appliance. Their website and contact information can be found in our show notes.
We're so grateful to WHEE by SR Play for sponsoring this episode, as well as our last two DMCs. So WE is the leader in backyard fun and safety, and play sets are really the most amazing place for kids to explore their imagination while also getting exercise, fresh air. And if you're going to be getting one, you want to get the best one with a company that has the best customer service.
Yeah, I love it when my kids are playing on playgrounds and just seeing like where their imagination takes them.
Mm-hmm.
WE offers customized play sets so that you can create that magical space for your children in your own backyard. You don't have to go anywhere. They can just go out into the backyard and play. WE is the leading manufacturer of play sets since 2010.
So if you want exceptional quality, safety, and customer service, then WE's your brand for your next play set. WE plus you equals lasting fun. You'll find their contact information in our show notes, as well as their website link where you can download their catalog.
Sponsor for this episode of DMC, and here is what you need to know about this fabulous kids clothing brand, just in time for your Pesach shopping.
Oh my gosh, Pesach shopping is here. Well, clothing shopping, that is.
It is. You want to make sure that you're getting the looks that you and your kids want, and of course, the quality you're looking for. Appaman is your brand.
Appaman stands as a premier children's clothing brand with an extensive selection of high-quality garments. From impeccably crafted suits to cozy winter coats and fashionable sportswear, they cater to diverse tastes and needs of both moms and kids. Appaman is known for their distinctive designs and trend-setting styles.
Many of you may be familiar with their popular winter coats for boys and girls. I know one of my sons specifically asked for an Appaman coat this winter. And you may be also familiar with their mod suit, which is classy, comfortable, and just the right cut. Appaman also has a great collection of seasonal clothes for boys and girls, so check out their website, which you will find, of course, in our show notes.
We also have a discount code for you, DMC20, for 20% off. Applicable site-wide, excluding the core collection. Happy shopping. Thank you to Kabalacha for being a sponsor for this episode of DMC. This is really an amazing service you need to know about. Have you ever needed to ask a Shiloh but didn't know where to turn? Maybe you don't have a Rav. Maybe your Rav wasn't available. Maybe you felt uncomfortable bothering your Rav for whatever reason, and you wanted to discuss a Shiloh with someone maybe that you didn't know.
Kav Halacha provides halachic expertise available night and day around the world and in minutes, because every shaila deserves a world-class psak. With Kav Halacha, you'll have around-the-clock accessibility to leading poskim. They have various divisions, depending on your shilas, so you can get your questions answered as soon as possible. There's a medical halacha division, end-of-life division, hashkacha division, and a stam division for those mezuzah or tefillin shilas. No shila is too small or too serious. And of course, the prominent rabbanim on the line are prepared to answer your shila, even if it doesn't fall into one of those categories that we just said.
So if you're in the U.S., the number to know is 732-707-6666. We're going to put this number as well as local numbers if you're in Eretz Yisrael, the U.K., and Australia in our show notes. You can also visit kavhalacha.org, which we're going to link as well to learn more about this groundbreaking initiative. Well, hey, everybody. We're thrilled you've joined us for today's episode of DMC. Purim is on its way. We want to help you get in the utter spirit. So we've invited who we think are two of the funniest and maybe cleverest ladies to grace the pages of Mishpacha magazine. And that's Chani Judowitz and Bracha Stein. They are the masterminds of the Kichels comics. Okay, Rivki, how do we explain the Kichels to our audience members who are not familiar with them?
Oh, gosh. Good question. I would say it's like social commentary in its best form. They manage to point out silly or, you know, a little bit ridiculous things about our community or from life in a way that is totally on target and highly relatable. But they do it in such a loving and playful way that you can't help but laugh. It's like Musar and validation all in one hilarious package.
Yes, I think you nailed that perfectly.
So we're going to be getting the lowdown on all the behind-the-scenes Kichel stuff. So excited, including their favorite episodes and just like all the things that the people who created it that can talk to us about, you know. So let's talk just you and me for a minute. I want to talk about our favorite Kichel character and our favorite Kichel moments.
Okay, great. So let's start with our favorite character, I think. This is probably unexpected. Mine is Yechiel. Yechiel is Mr. Kichel.
That is unexpected. I did not see that coming.
Yeah, I'll tell you why. First of all, I just have to say that all of the Kichel family members all have a ch in their name, which is just like a little thing that's just so funny.
Oh, that's so funny.
You did notice a ch. Viva, Chaiki. They all have a ch. They're all the Kichels. Huh. So cute.
Look at that.
Just so
such
cute.
Such a good observation.
So, Yechiel. There is someone in our community that Yechiel, this character, this cartoon, very much reminds me of. And it's a rabbi, and he's just like, he looks like him. So every time I read the comic, I think of this rabbi.
That's hilarious. But, I'm going to be looking at all the rabbis in our community now and figure out which one is Yechiel.
Oh my gosh.
That's so funny.
He's just, how do I explain it? He captures so much of like from fatherhood, from husbandhood, in such a adorable way. And that's why I like reading about him.
That's so nice. Well, mine is Nechama, so I guess it makes sense. We're, like, matched here, like, you know, because I just, for similar reasons.
Mrs. Kichel.
Yeah, Mrs. Kichel, exactly. Thank you for clarifying that for all the people who do not know. It's just so relatable. Like, so many of the motherhood things, you know, I'm just like, oh, yeah, to that too. It's just so deeply relatable, or just, like, Jewish womanhood, you know?
Yeah, it's, like, from motherhood, from woman can appreciate.
Exactly.
Adorable.
Exactly.
Okay, so favorite Kichel moments. We're going to talk about a bunch of these in the episode, but like pom-pom yarmulke, if you guys know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Once you saw the pom-pom yarmulke, basically they were like making fun of trends.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's like, we all know about the pom-pom beanies, which are apparently out now.
I guess they're done, yeah.
Those are done. If you wear a pom-pom beanie,
it's fine.
Go for it.
It's fine.
You're good.
Yes.
But like, what's next? And like, every kid in the block was wearing pom-pom yarmulke. It's just hysterical. It's just so cute. I'll never forget about it. There was a great one, a bit of social commentary, which we're going to discuss, but you know, this is my lineup lists of silky shaitels and commentary about singles in our community.
That was a great one.
And then the Pesach ones were the best. Like, they're prepping the menu for Pesach, you know, and we're gonna have all of these, like, you know, fancy Pachka type of recipes, and they're like in the store looking for this ingredient, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like they come to the Seder and no one's touching the food. Like, no one wants it. The men certainly couldn't, the men, the Bachrim, no one cares. And like, why?
That's very funny. Anyway, that's very, very funny.
What about you?
I can't believe you're making me pick. It's like so hard.
Yeah.
And I can never remember things off the top of my head like this. So I literally took out all three of the Kichel's books that I own. To page through them to be like, well, I don't know. What are my favorites? I like so many.
Yeah.
So some of the ones that I saw that really brought renewed chuckles to me was the shidduchim references for girls and boys. Like, Like there was one that, this was actually a recent one. I don't know if this one is actually in a book, but it was like someone was making a reference phone call.
Yeah.
And this girl, like this young girl was like listing so much detail, And they're like, and how do you know her? And she's like, oh, I sat next to her for like half a year in second grade or something. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the boy is giving like these very like unflattering short answers. Like, how is he? I guess he's okay. Like those kinds of answers.
Yes.
And it's like, how long have you known him? And they've like, they've been chavrusas for years. And I was just rolling. Okay. So that was one. Another one was, there was an old one about mitzvah notes, like having, trying to find, and it was like there were all these things like, you know, so and so share toys, scratch that out because the kid wasn't sharing toys, the kid was being a typical like, you know, preschooler, like not behaving. And so what they, the note they sent with is like, so and so has not done any shvichas damim this week.
Oh,
this week.
And I was, mitzvah notes, like, so relatable.
My mitzvah notes are all revolve around cleaning. I'm like, what does this say about me? So I was like, Abby cleaned up so nicely. I'm like, oh, I'm a little obsessed with this topic. Okay, fine. And then there was another one that I really loved, which was kosher kitchen stickers. You know, the iconic like meat and dairy and parv, but they had the ones for like all the like complicated like halakhic like kashrus issues come up. Like, was a whatever. I can't. I'm gonna butcher it.
Like put this one cut with a fleshik, onion with a fleshik knife. Like those stickers.
Exactly. All the mishaps that can happen in a kitchen and labeled them. It was hilarious.
So cute. So by the way, I just want to acknowledge that if you're listening and you're like, what are they rambling about? You can pick up Mishpacha magazine and see for yourself why the Kichels are just so wildly popular. Every week, they're the last page of the magazine. Also, there are 3 Kichels books and there are 2 games. So I would say, I think that the secret to their success is exactly what you were saying before. It's like they've just nailed our culture in a funny way, enable us to laugh at ourselves. And that's a nice way to close the magazine, like with a chuckle, you know? And like maybe even a thought, how can we maybe improve this issue or make this better?
Yeah, well, so it's the first thing my 15-year-old turns to every time. He's like, oh, you have the mishpacha? Oh, what's the kichels?
Yep.
Like that's the first thing he turns to.
Yep.
And I agree exactly that, like, that being able to end with a laugh is such a nice thing. And just to laugh is nice, you know, especially right now. I mean, we can all use a little of that. So we are so excited to have Bracha Stein, who is the writer behind the kichels, all the way from Yerushalayim, and Chani Jedowitz, who's the illustrator and lives in Lakewood. They're joining us. And we really hope that you find this DMC as fun, enjoyable, and interesting as we did.
Welcome, ladies, to DMC. We are so excited to have you both on.
Thank you. We're so excited to be here.
Same, yeah.
Awesome. Okay, great. So let's talk from the very beginning, and I'm going to use this language to tell us how the Kichels were born, because I'd imagine they were born, this family, somehow.
Okay, so we could go back even before the birth, and I'd been moved to Israel, and I'd been writing professionally and doing a lot of really boring writing work. When people ask what I wrote, I'd say boring stuff, and I was really desperate for a creative outlet. And I got up the nerve a few times to email Shana Friedman and say, hey, I'd love to write humor for Mishpacha. And she was always very gracious to be like, oh, that's so nice. It's fine. We don't need it. And once I finally got up the nerve to submit a story, which she liked, and it was such a highlight for me. And I was so thrilled. And I really wanted to write more humor. And over the years, I tried dropping hints like, oh, I'd love to write humor. And then if when for a while, they needed a back page column. And I was trying to hint. And then, yes, this is a professional lesson, like, careers are like husbands, hints do not work. So eventually I got up there and I was like, hi, Shana, I really want to write humor stuff. I would like to write a humor column. You have a back page. The back page could use a column. Can I write a humor column for it? And sure enough, that worked. And she got back to me and said, do you want to try a comic strip?
Wow.
And I was like, okay, that's a little weird. Not what I had in mind, but I was desperate for a creative outlet. And then Hani, you could pick up from here.
Yeah, so I had done very limited work for Mishpacha at that point. I was working already like 5 years as an illustrator. So like in the beginning, I had taken over their illustrator when she went on maternity leave and like a random project here or there. So I knew Shana. So she reached out to me and she's like, hey, we have this idea for a comic for the back page for like adults. Is this something you'd be interested in? So I'm like, no, but thank you. I really said no, because I don't do comics. I've never done comics before. And the reason I never did comics is because I really take a long time with like my style with my work. I love like doing very detailed, you know, semi-realistic, like a lot of lighting, shadows, colors. And so it doesn't really like, and when she said comic, I'm thinking of like the comics that we know and from culture today, which is like those adventure books, like you'll see it in a lot of these magazines, there's these stories and every single panel is so detailed. And I'm like, I don't have the time for this. This is not my type of work. I don't do that. So I said, no, no, thank you. And I recommended a different illustrator. And like a fun, funny little tidbit, who did I recommend? The illustrator, I admire her work a lot, that does now the Living Dangerously in the Ami. Dina. So I wasn't far off. It was just a totally different style, but I'm like, oh, I could see her doing comics, like maybe reach, you know, but Shauna already was like, she was familiar with my work and she really like that. This is what you need an editor for a magazine, someone that has a vision. And she, we didn't even know exactly what this was going to be yet, but she said, could you just, you know, she reached back to me like the following week and she's like, I really think you're the right person for this job. Could you at least give it a try? I'm like, okay.
And Anna just told me that she thought we'd be friends. So I think that was part of it.
Oh, that's cute. Aww. I just want to pause for our listeners who don't know who Shauna is. So Shauna Friedman is the managing editor of Mishpacha Magazine.
Yeah, so she's the person like behind, she runs everything. So yeah, so it's like very much the magazine is like, you know, goes by her vision. So again, we didn't have a clear vision at that point yet at all. But I said I would try it out. And I'm like, okay, a comic, but not a comic for kids, a comic for adults. So we, I think at that point, I didn't even try it out yet. We probably, that was the point where we met the first time, Bracha, because I don't think I tried anything out yet before we had our first meeting together. Am I right?
I don't even remember. I know Shauna asked me to write a few sample ideas and I sent them to her. And maybe we met in the office before you started sketching them. That part, I don't remember.
I don't remember it that. At when we started talking, we met one time and we also, we had never met before. And we started talking and I'm like, okay, this is actually something different, something that hasn't been done before. This exists in the secular world. There are comics that are funny that exist for adults and, you know, it's humor and everybody, kids, adults, everybody likes it. This is not something that exists. And as I started looking more into what does exist out there, I realized that the style for these comics are more simple. Mm-hmm. They're not very detailed and like what you see in these adventure comics. And I said, oh, you know what? Maybe this is something I could actually do. And I started to like sketch it out and draw it. I'm like, oh, this is really fun. Hmm. And this is something that doesn't take as much time. And I love humor. I love those types of comics. They're really, we all love a good laugh and everything. And I'm like, oh, this is something exciting. This is something that we could do. The first one that we did is not the first one that appeared in the magazine or in the books. It was like the fourth or fifth one. It was the one with the Shadchan. And that was actually the first character that I tried the style on. There was no Yechiel, Nechama, no family members yet. I was exploring a style. I remember like I sent you, Bracha, like a sample. We tried to see, should the eyes be just dots, which I saw a lot of these comics had, or should they be like that you see the whites and then the dot, you know what I'm saying? Like you see a full eye. So like we were exploring the style and the first style I explored it on was the Shadchan with the red hair and that whole look. So the first comic that we tried it all out on was the one where the Shadchan calls the boy side and the girl side. And, you know, they just like you're 22 years old, what's your plan? And then basically the girl has like a whole plot, like, what do you mean you haven't figured it all out yet? And the boy, I'm like totally botching it, but the boy side has no plan. And it's like, yeah, sure. No problem for right. The boy. You don't need a plan at 22 years old. While the girl, if you don't have a plan, like, what's wrong with you? So that was like in the book, it comes out like the fourth or fifth comic. I don't remember, something around there, but that was actually our first comic that we had done. And that's when I first just started putting the characters in. It was like very, very loose still at that point.
This whole thing was really a temporary project. Shauna, I think even at Mishpacha, people were like, that's weird. My mother is my biggest fan. I was like, are you sure you want to do this? Like a comic for adults, it's not going to work. And Shauna, to her credit, really had this vision and she pushed for it. And it was a 3-month project. That's how she got us on board.
Oh yeah. I don't even remember 3 months. I do know that they said in the beginning, it was like, we're going to try it. It was going to be every other week, they said in the beginning, you know, right. But right away that didn't happen. Like right away, the research aspect of it was very interesting. And that's also how we came to the name. When I was looking at all these, you know, other comics out there, I noticed that there were some that like they, you know, you try to think of like, we were trying to come up, we were like in that meeting, we were brainstorming a little, little bit what type of a name we should use. And sometimes people come up with these like meaningful names, like have, and I remember thinking like, I think we need to pick a name that people can just like easily refer back to, like, oh, that was such a whatever type of moment, such a thing. And when I was looking at these other comics that existed, I saw that some of them had food names that had nothing to do with the comic. Like, for example, Snoopy Peanuts is called Peanuts, right? Snoopy.
Yeah.
And there were a couple of other ones that had these random food items. So we're like, okay, maybe we could find a food item that's like Jewish related. So we went through a bunch of them. Bracha, I think you remember, you like we were talking about tradition soup for a while, also thinking that one. But like
MSG, Hashem, going to work. Yeah.
Right. But the kichels is what we ended up with, and it really does work in that way, that people can just remember it and say like, oh, that was such a Kichels moment. And it's really great.
Interesting. So are you saying that you came up with the name the Kichels because of the food, but at the beginning you didn't have the concept of there being the Kichel family with the lineup of characters?
At that point, we knew there's going to be a family and we knew a name. We wanted to do a standard, typical, you know, whatever that means, from family that people could feel like, you know, maybe we didn't have every single sibling figured out yet, but yeah, we knew there was going to be a family and we needed the last, like, we needed them to have a name. We didn't know if the comic's title is going to be their last name or it's going to be something else, but yeah, that was kind of, you know, we were figuring it out as we went along, for sure, in the beginning.
I love that. I love hearing origin stories. This has been so fun. I would love to hear a little bit more also about like just like the process. You're giving us like a taste of like what it's like to collaborate. I'd love to hear more about like the process of collaboration. And especially since like, were you in the same like time zone when you first started and then not now? Or you guys were always like in different countries?
For like 5 very brief minutes. And then I moved back to Lakewood.
Yeah, shortly after that first meeting, like I don't know, 2 months later, I moved back.
From Yerushalayim to Lakewood.
From Yerushalayim. I lived there for 9 years from when I got married. I was there for 9 years. And then now we're in Lakewood, like almost 7 years. So, yeah. So everything, the Kichels is around. So, no, like 6 years, right? So as long as the Kichels are around is basically how long I'm living. I think the Kichels first went to print when I already moved back. Like that was like Sukkot. So I went to print Sukkot and I was back in Lakewood at that point. So it's around as long as I'm here.
It's so funny. I feel like the Kichels are like such like a part of our life. I'm like, only 6 years? Like, no, they've been around for much longer. Like since before I was born. I don't even know. Like they're like there forever. They're part of like the scenery. Okay. So let's talk a little bit more about like the process of collaboration. Like take us from concept to creation. Like, can you walk us through like how it works?
Okay, so you're both writers. So I don't know. I find this is true. I work as an editor, and I find this true of most writers I work with, that the most important part of any project is the deadline. Hmm. Very often it's the deadline that's already passed, but we don't have to go into that here.
I don't know what you're talking about.
So we start with, you're reminding me that you need the script. And then I start getting stressed. And I keep a running log of ideas, things that occur to me, things that random people suggest, emails we get from readers, and whenever the script, I scroll through it and sometimes an idea just jumps out. I could have looked at it 4 times. All of a sudden I feel like it works. Or sometimes there's someone send a long email and one element of it works. And sometimes like today when I had to send the Chani a script, I have 0 ideas and nothing's clicking. And then I start looking at the calendar. Okay. It's Adar Aleph. No, it's too early for Purim. What are people doing in Adar Aleph? It's not really such a topical time. What's going on in my life? What's going on? Until I find inspiration, this often will involve harassing people I know. Until I come up with an idea that clicks, I'll usually try to come up with 3 or 4 ideas and I run them by Shatna, my editor, and she'll pick the ones that she thinks have potential. And then I work on writing the script. And I often reach out to Chani at that point and I say, hey, this is the idea I have for the next script. What do you think? Because it's really a very collaborative process. And I think that so much enriches the final product. I remember I once sent you a script like in the early days and you got back to me. It was something about like Rachi wasting time with the office. And you're like, that's so not Rachi's personality. She is way too conscientious. She would never waste time with the office. And you were right. Or sometimes I'll take the script in ways that you point out that's not consistent with what we've been doing. Like I wrote a really funny script. You said, okay, but it doesn't involve the Kichel characters. We can't bring in random people.
This is a question that we have a lot of times. I'm just jumping in here for a moment. Like when do we do random characters and when do we bring in the Kichel family? So if it's more of a, like we try to stick what we've done. So when we're doing more of a storyline, there's like a back and forth and a progression of scenes and it involves people. We're not going to usually have that involve random people that we don't know. If there's a storyline, you know, we're going to have that involve the family. But if it's just a bunch of random scenes, like, you know, under a certain umbrella of a topic, like then we'll very often have random characters. It's not like a storyline. So yeah, like that could happen. And, you know, I'll be like, hey, or sometimes I remember it happened. You like put, let's say, Nahi into a script and I'll be like, wait, we just sent him to Israel. How's he back? Like, you know, like right. We have to like, you know, just make sure it's very good to have this back and forth that, you know, we because the characters are as much as they're not real. Yeah. They are real in a way to us. I'm sure as writers, you can relate to, you know, when characters feel real to you. And they feel real to people also. People tell us all the time they're davening for Rahi and, you know.
Sorry. Oh my gosh. Okay.
A lot of reality going on, you know, for people.
Rahi's introduction for the listeners who are sadly not up on their kechels.
I know. We cannot assume that all of our listeners know what's going on. So we have to like fill them in.
Occasionally we'll have this whole discussion and then someone in the mishpacha office will be like, wait, was he chil? Okay. He's not a real person for you.
Right.
He's Mr. Kechel.
Right, Mr. Kechel.
So then I'll run the idea by Hani. She'll give me input. Sometimes it's like a practical thing. She'll be like, Miriam, this is going to be really, really hard to draw. Or sometimes this is impossible to draw. Mm. I'm not an artist. So I'll give her an idea. Okay, in this panel, I want a character to walk in, pick this up, put it down, say this, and then say that.
That's almost that. Fine. When we get a little more meta, you know, with like the floating and the memory comes, and I'm like, whoa, how am I doing this? You know, like the memory, we're going back in time. I'm like, hey, wait.
Yeah.
I need very practical, you know? So, yeah.
Then I actually write the script, which could take anywhere from a half hour to 2 or 3 hours. Mm. Sometimes it involves research. Okay, Baruch is bar mitzvah. What kind of suit is he wearing? What color is it? Where is he buying it? We get into very random research. Last week's trip, we had like this household contract. So I did some research looking for legal terms.
I loved that one. I was rolling.
It's using it like an absurd sort of way, but they still have to be actual terms. And then I also did some random research because I had something about people saying jinx, double jinx. And then I was asking people, what comes after double jinx? I definitely remember there being something involved with bubblegum, but apparently.
Oh, I almost added that part to the script for you. And then I'm like, I don't want to mess it up. I was going to add that you owe me a soda. That was like, I was discussing with my kids. I'm like, wait, right. Doesn't it go double? Like, right. I was going to put, I literally put that.
Bubblegum or soda.
Okay. Okay.
Maybe it's like in different regions, you know, it's like, you know, in yes. a certain area, you call it pop, in another area, you call it soda. So like, you know, maybe bubblegum soda is also like, you know, regional.
And I have no idea what you're talking about. So I didn't grow up with this one.
It's very legal terminology. Okay. All this, so yeah.
If we both say the same thing at the same time, then we have to say jinx. And if we say jinx at the same time, then you're not allowed to talk until someone says your full name.
Got it.
This is important stuff. So. Okay.
It is. Yeah, it's crucial.
And then I send Hani the script and I get to sit back and relax until she sends me the sketch like 5 minutes later.
Yeah. So at that point, I you know, have pretty much my process is I take the script, I read through it. And what's really great is Bracha really includes a lot of like details, visual details, like as suggestions, which I usually do take because, you know, it just like it's really it's. She has, again, her vision of what she's seeing as she's writing it, and she'll put those pointers in. Usually I do implement them. Sometimes I'll be like, no, actually, I think we should do this differently, something like this. And I'll work on a sketch. I send it to both Shana and Bracha. And once it's approved, then I go on to line work. Sometimes I send that in for approval. Sometimes I'm in a rush. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever, it was approved. I'll just go on to coloring. The whole process takes... I used to say it takes like 8 to 10 hours of coloring. It's a long job, but I realized lately that it's taking me faster, which is a good sign. So maybe 5 hours on average, 6.
I think it also very much depends on the complexity of the strips. Is it talking heads? Yes. Is it a full scene? Every once in a while, I do a text heavy strip, which is probably fun for you.
It's so, it's like, and she's so nice because she'll be like, oh, I know this script came in a little bit last minute. I made it much more text so you could draw much less.
But it's you like write out the text, Hani, right?
What?
You write out all the text also,
I do
right?
all the visual, all the layout, the text, everything is yeah, mm-hmm. There's nothing that is done by a different. A lot of times with comics, you'll have a team. You'll have someone that does the line work, the color, the text, the speech bubbles. Like, they're separate jobs almost. Mm-hmm. But here we're just, you know, it's just both of us. And like we keep saying, there's a lot of collaboration that goes on, you know, back and forth. So I'll get feedback from Bracha on the illustrations, and I'll give her feedback on the writing and add ideas. She'll ask me for my, like, it's very much not a cut and dry, you do this and mm-hmm. I do that, and that's it. It's very much together.
That really, and Khani takes my opinion seriously, which I value. Like, sometimes I'll say, okay, I'm going to send you a mock-up, and I make this mock-up in like Microsoft Paint. It looks like my 3-year-old made it. And I think we both very much respect each other's opinion. That ends up resulting in a much richer final product. Mm-hmm. I'll go back and I'll say, okay, you know, the mother is looking relieved in this picture, but I picture her looking stressed, or I'm not sure about, I think the punchline would land better if he's standing over here. And we go back and make those tweaks.
Sometimes I'll be like, look, I can't do that at this point. It doesn't work. Like, and we respect like each other's like boundaries also. Like if something comes up and it's just, I can't do it, or it doesn't make sense. Like, and the same thing, like we really put our working relationship first, like to make sure that we're okay. You know, that, you know, it's not about getting your thing done. It's really, really like, cause I've spoken to other people that have been in similar type of partnerships with a writer, illustrator, and everything, and it's not always that way. And I'm very grateful. Like, it's, you know, when it comes to working together on, you know, games or whatever it is, we really, really try to make sure that, you know, we're taking each other's needs into account in the process.
Oh, beautiful. Like, we understand what it is like to have a good working relationship. So
exactly. Yeah,
that's very nice.
It's a bracha. It's really, really a bracha. Yeah.
Okay, and I want to talk about next. Both of your goals in starting this comic strip. Like, obviously, you know, it sounds like in the beginning that sort of evolved, I think, like trying to figure out what you were doing. But nonetheless, you know, did you go into this thinking, you know, the goal of this is to laugh at ourselves in the Orthodox community? Was it a goal to like actually provide some kind of social commentary, which it does? I'm just curious, like, what, you know, what you had in your own minds when you embarked on this.
So again, honestly, I think a large goal for me was I want to do some sort of fun, creative outlet instead of writing boring multiple choice questions. Right. I think we envisioned it as doing a lot of social commentary, maybe even more than we ended up doing.
Hmm.
And again, it was such a, when we started this, it was such a short-term project that we didn't really have goals. Hmm. Like, did we,
yeah, we
even
weren't
think about putting out books or games? It wasn't even on the radar.
Yeah, that's crazy. The games. Whoa. Do you make the games? Do you both actually write up the cards and everything? Kichelet.
Yes.
Kichelet is like quite a brilliant game.
So fun.
People are like, oh, it's like taboo. I'm like, no, it's like super in-depth, nuanced taboo.
That's really funny. Yeah, no. So I'm going to just mirror what Bracha said. I didn't have a specific goal. I think at this point we have a goal overall is to, like, the fact that it brings joy to people, that people love it, is obviously extremely rewarding. And it's something that, you know, we're so happy to be able to do that. And yeah, like when there are things that come up, I mean, sometimes I feel like it's a little bit our like public therapy. Like, I'll be mm-hmm. so annoyed at a certain situation that came up. What comes to mind always in that like topic is like, I was in a shoe store in Lakewood. This was like going back a while. I hate to overuse a word like traumatized, like it's a serious word, but this was like I
really
to a certain level it was I'm sorry, I was like prepared myself very, very well in advance for this whole situation. I took my kid out of school. It was in camp. I took my kid out of camp. We were there 9:40. The store opens up at 10.
Wow.
I was first online. There was a huge line of people behind me.
Oh,
it still took over an hour.
Oh,
and I only had went with one kid. She tried on 4 pairs during that time, 2 of which we took, like Shabbos and weekday, like 2 Shabbos, 2 weekday. And at that point, when they finally, I was like, done. I'm like, great. I'll just take this one, that one. I'm like, how much is it? They're like, $130 each. I'm like, my freedom or going to another shoe? Like, I'm saying, like, what am I going to do? So I'm like, fine, I'll pay. It's a whatever. That's the price I'm going to pay. So
none of this is like relatable to us in Ohio.
we should move. I'm the only one. I'm very, very happy in Lakewood, but like there are the things that happen when you live in this type. So that these are the kinds of situations, you know, you're sitting in the traffic and like, I'm always like texting Bracha ideas, things based on like things that are happening in our, in, life, and we're just like, oh my, like this is, we say all the time to each other, this is such a kichel. Like, and sometimes it does result in a strip and sometimes it doesn't. So we did make one of these shoe store strips that ended up with like paying the ransom, but that was, it felt very therapeutic for me. I felt much better afterwards.
That's adorable. Okay. I had a question. This is weekly. This is like pretty intense. So how far in advance do you is plan, your like yeah. final product submitted, or is it like submitted Sunday night before the deadline kind of thing?
Yeah.
Months?
Oh. Sorry. Oh, I think I gave it away.
We're currently working week to week.
Yes.
I try right now. Honey's drawing Tuesday morning. You want to start the scripts on Tuesday morning. So she'll start on Tuesday morning for the magazine that goes to print the next Monday.
Oh,
wow. So
happens to be this week, the one that just went to print. I don't usually send it in. It goes to print on Monday in the magazine, the one that comes out on Wednesday. I did send in the comic on Monday this week just because I was waiting. It's the 1,000th issue for Mishpacha.
Right.
So I sent in, I wanted to include the cover that they had on the strips. I had to wait for them. But I'm saying normally I'm sending it in Matzah Shabbos Sunday, something like that. There was a time, meaning it's not always been like that. Last year we had a system where we were doing like we were trying to group them together, like four strips at a time. And then I would work on it over the course of 2 weeks. But for this year, based on my schedule, like it made more sense for me to work week to week. I wasn't able to group it together. So that's what I'm saying. Like we work with each other, and Bracha's, sending me on a weekly basis now. And I just have to make sure I get it in time. We do keep a backup just in case, like an evergreen.
Right.
Just in case. Because I think a one time. We started doing it after one time I had to work on coloring one when I had fever a few years ago. Yeah. So we're like, we should probably have a backup.
Yeah. We get that. We don't have backup episodes.
Well, now, thank God we have a little bit. Now we've been doing this for like, this is our fourth season. So now we have like content that people didn't just listen to. So now we can kind of,
if we have,
but we can't reuse like, oh, this was 3 weeks ago, but now you can listen to it again because we got busy. Like we can't do that.
Right.
But, I was going to ask like when you had, if you had evergreen content, or if you had like a storyline that was like, could be free floating, like free range story that's not tethered to a certain time of year, if that was ever something that you guys utilized like back in the day before you started working.
That would be a great idea. But honestly, the series strips are always really hard because you need a strong topic that could work for 4 weeks, but each strip has to stand on its own with a punchline. So if I ever write a series, we're going to like print it tomorrow. Like, oh, let's just keep this hanging around.
Got it.
And everything, when you say you submit it Sunday night, I mean, it's all approved beforehand, or do you, you need a final stamp of approval before it goes to print?
So every comic, Okay. Every comic does get me to be approved by the Mishpacha's Rav, which is something that's very important to us. And and it's also like, it takes a lot of the weight off of us. Like also if we're going to go into more controversial, like a lot of times, there will be a topic that comes up and Bracha will have the conversation like, is this okay? How do we go about this? So yes, they do. Sometimes if I don't have something, again, I really try to send in by the end of the week or by like, if it comes in for them, Matzah Shabbos Sunday morning, that's enough time. If I'm sending in on Monday for whatever reason, it's better if I send in like wherever it's holding just so they can see it and they can have the proofreaders look at it to see if there's any issues at that point. But yeah.
That's if we're writing on a topic that feels like social commentary or that might be controversial, I usually run it by the Rav first. He's extremely pro kichels.
Pro kichels, I love it.
Guideline, but usually he's, no, this is good. This is fine.
Amazing.
Yeah, we're surprised sometimes. I don't remember which one specifically, but like, it's like, yeah, go for it. This is important.
And there's, that's the whole thing about comics and humor is you can sometimes say things more directly, honestly, through that medium.
One of Mishpacha's regular op-ed writers once called me and said, could you do a kichels about this and this topic? I can't do it in my column because it will come across as too negative or preachy, but you could get away with it.
Yes, that's what I love about it.
Humor is a great tool for making points. It kind of softens the edges and makes people more receptive.
Absolutely.
That's why we have to, Musser with laughing is like more, it can go in,
Mm-hmm.
There's probably some more officially sounding like way of saying that, but that's what I'm sticking with. Okay. So this is like this, the 3 month project that basically, you know, started because like you didn't want to do boring work anymore. And it was like, let's just do something less boring and something that I could actually enjoy. And then it completely takes the world by storm, let's say. So let's talk about your reaction to this popularity. And what do you think it's accomplished?
So for sure, I mean, we were very like grateful and surprised, not expecting this kind of, you know, reaction. I don't even remember so much because it's going back a little while. Like, what was, Bracha, do you remember like the feedback in the beginning? Like, how did we know that it was, you know, taking off? Do you remember?
We started hearing rumbling. People liked it. One of our early strips was about peer pressure. We have parents complaining about their kids feeling peer pressure. And then you see a bunch of mothers complaining about how all their kids are just giving into wanting whatever their friends have, and the women are all dressed identically.
I remember that.
That's also a fun trivia, because that was the first comic that I think that was like our third one, and that was the first comic that Nechama appeared with a shaitel, and I needed people to realize who she was. So what color is her wig? Like, I don't know. But I mean, we had some different hair colored kids at that point, but I'm like, she's going to have a red shaitel because she needs to stand out in the middle of all those women that are dressed identically.
Funny.
So that's how she ended up with our, and at that point, I don't even know. I'm trying to remember what, like, did we even show the, I guess we did show the kids somewhat. So we did have like, know that there were some kids with red hair or whatever, but it just, that was so where I was like committing.
Remember?
You yeah. Color. Right. Uh-huh. We did have the boys, like, which one I think was, who was it? Chesky. Sorry. Chesky was originally another redhead, and now he's brown. Something happened along the way.
Sometimes hair gets darker as you age.
Yeah.
So we heard that a teacher had brought that comic in and showed it to her class, and that was the most amazing feedback ever. And we were flying high. And then we started hearing about more of that and started getting that, really just hearing from people who like the Kichels. Like, as a writer, so often, I mean, I don't know if you should experience, but you put something out, it goes to Mishpacha magazine, it's read by tens of thousands of people, and you don't hear a word. Or you'll meet somebody like, oh, you wrote an article last week? Yeah, I read it. And they just don't say anything. So we started getting this feedback, which was so gratifying. And I think, like Chani said, we're so surprised and grateful. And I don't think there was one moment where it's like, oh, wow, we arrived, this is popular. But it was a slow steady build.
And people submitted letters too. They print Mishpacha printed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think maybe was also a turning point. Wasn't the first Purim we did this as a prank? We did something about the Kichels being canceled and ending.
Oh, that's right.
And,
everyone was panicked.
Like, people are going to think it's real. I was like, this is the most sarcastic thing ever. No one's going to think it's real. And Connie said, of course they will. So she put in the script, is this some sort of Purim joke? And anyways, long story short, Hani's instincts are much better than mine, and I am more sarcastic than your average person. A lot of people thought it was real. Mishpacha got a very, very large number of letters complaining. I'm like, oh, wow. People read this.
Wow.
I will just say also, in general, like, Bracha is like really smart. Obviously, she has to be really smart to come up with all these ideas week after week.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'm like, okay, I want to make sure everybody understands this. If I'm not understanding it fully, I need to like, you know, bring it, like, we're going to make sure this is something everybody, you know, so that's also sometimes it comes up. It's, you know, we have, we each do our part.
It amazes me when I read these, like how you both have your finger on the pulse in such detail, and not in the illustrations indicate that you have your finger on the pulse. I think it's fabulous.
It's very funny the feedback we also get sometimes. Like, Bracha will, you always tell me how people will come over to you and be like, you write the Kichels, like you're funny, like, first of all that, but also for me, like, people will say, oh, you illustrate, and like, oh, but who writes it? Like, that's like, they're genius. Like, it's just genius.
No, it's
best. And she'll get the opposite. Like, it's very cute. You know, we appreciate all feedback and stuff, but it's very, very much definitely a, you know, we're collaborating back and forth. You know, we're in this together, and I'm glad, you know, people appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Hani, are you a trained illustrator?
Yeah. I mean, I originally went into special ed. It was not my plan to go into.
Oh, me too, by the way. We've discussed this.
Right. It's so many people, I feel like, you know, I don't know what you know, end up switching at some point. You know, we had, especially I feel like today, there's so many options for what, like, you know, from girls, women can go into. There's a lot of creative fields that are open today, that are, you know, people can see, can actually make a good parnessa and everything. You know, back when I was, you know, the choices were like special ed and speech, maybe OT, you know. And today it's definitely changing. So whatever, it definitely was a journey for me. But part of the reason I ended up switching was living in Eretz Yisrael. It was very hard to find like a good job in special ed. So I ended up, there's a long story. Definitely Hashem directed it. It was not something that I would have like necessarily on my own went and just turned everything around and switched. It was very much orchestrated. But Baruch Hashem, living in Eretz Yisrael, I had access to some of the greatest artists in the from world, and I was able to get really great training, Baruch Hashem. And so yeah, I'm trained and I teach it now, also illustration. It's something that I really feel love and feel passionate about. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to take this opportunity to tell you one of my favorite parts of your drawings, which just shows that your illustration contains humor.
Yeah.
Is Nechama's tichels. So yeah. I just love how they cover every little piece of hair, but you can see her ponytail. You could see her ponytail like bump, which I just love because it's so accurate. You know what I mean?
That's so funny. I honestly never had that pointed out to me, but yes, it's there.
But you intentionally do it, right?
Oh, for sure. That's how, you know, tichels work.
Exactly.
I
love it.
Right. It's so cute. No, I love hearing that. It's so nice. You know, like I do appreciate when people come over to me and they'll notice things in the illustrations that, you know, obviously I appreciate that. But for me, it's more important that people get the joke. Yes. Like if somebody starts complimenting me, like, oh, I read this week's Kichels, like it was amazing, this colors. I'm like, but did you like it? Was it funny? Did you get it?
Right.
Like that's like always, you know, first, because sometimes I feel like, especially people that know me, they'll be like looking for like what I did. And I'm like, no, but it's the whole thing, you know, like I love getting for me, the biggest joy, I don't know if Bracha, if you have this also, is getting to watch someone read the Kichels in front of me for that first time, that one, and seeing them laugh. That's like everything to me. That's and awesome. Also, we get to hear stories. Also,
the best here in Israel. I don't get to see people read the Kichels so often in front of me unless they're part of my family, or it feels like very awkward. Because they feel like they have to like perform for me. And so show myself is on the bus. This woman picks up her magazine and she opens straight to the back. I was like, wow, like feedback in live. I'm watching.
That's great.
She turns the page and reads there was a communicated ad, read it in detail, then flipped and read the entire rest of the magazine. Did not
really read it.
Oh, that's funny.
You get the live feedback.
Who reads those communicated ads anyway?
Right?
I have the same thing when I go into, you know, Hanukkah, we put out either a book or a game. And, you know, they'll tell us, oh, it's flying off the shelves. And then I come into the store. People are like, I went into the store and every person online was holding a game or a book. And then I walk into the store. Not one person is looking at the books or games. Not one person is holding it. I'm like, there's some kind of conspiracy going on. I don't know. Like, just.
You just don't see
it. I'd love to see it, but I believe it's Baruch Hashem. It's true. It's just funny. It's, you know, the way life works.
But right, I've also never seen someone buying a book or game ever.
Oh, that's hysterical. That's well, so people funny. Are buying them. People are buying them. Let's talk. I'm really excited to pick your brain about this. I want to do like a little bit of a rundown of some of your favorite strips. You know, we reached out in advance, and these were all separate questions. The funniest one, the one that you got the most feedback for, and the one most loved by fans. And one of you responded, like, those are all just like one in your mind. So, Bracha, why don't we start with you? Funniest, most feedback, and most loved by fans. Are you really thinking of only one strip that meets all three of those criteria?
How about I turn this back on you? What do you think was the funniest strip we ever ran? Okay. Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah, so we talk about this a little bit in the beginning of the episode. Maybe you have to listen and you'll hear it then. So we're going to turn this back on you now.
Oh, well, it was worth a try. I think, you know, I think that we generally gauge them by reader response, what went over well. One of my personal favorites was, is it Shabbos yet? I love that. Our readers also loved it. We got a ton of feedback about it. And then occasionally, I happen to like the meta strips, although I don't know if readers like them as much as I do.
What is a meta strip? And
like when the characters kind of break the fourth wall, they're aware of their existence in a comic strip.
Oh, yeah.
And I think readers don't like them as much as I do. My editor keeps me framed in. I get to do it once a year. Okay, so Isn't Chavez Yet is just this classic kids book that I think most people have heard or read. And Maki wakes up early in the morning and says, Isn't Chavez Yet? And Mug says, no, Maki. First, we have to clean the house, wash the dishes, do the cook for Shabbos, bake the challah, set the table. And it's an adorable book. My kids love it. And kids love it because it's repetitive and it's predictable. And as an adult reading this book for like the 8,000th time in one day, it's kind of, you have to wonder at Maki's mother, because first of all, she's just like so unflappable and calm. It's Friday. The woman has not done a thing all week to prepare. So she's doing everything on Friday. And her daughter is like, and just this infinite patience. No, Maki, we have to do this. And unfortunately, that's not necessarily how it would play out in my house. And she has like this very cute scene. And I was, whenever I would read, I'd picture Silke being like, it's a chop scene, until the mother snaps because she's desperately trying to get the chicken in the oven because she didn't do anything yet. So I wanted to write, I guess, a more realistic rendition. We reached out to the author, who very graciously let us borrow her characters.
Nice.
And we got a huge amount of feedback on the strip. I think because everybody, apparently a lot of people have had those same thoughts in reading the book.
Yeah, it's a parody. It's awesome.
And that launched.
Yeah, those are very popular in general. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you were saying they launched.
Right. Once we did that, we decided to frame it as Kichel Storytime Classic. And now that's a regular feature of the strip where we'll retell a beloved kids book.
Love it.
We loved the Caps for Sale one that you just did. The, yes. Yeah.
That was a reader suggestion from reader Leia G. And it was, we all loved, like, I loved when it came into the box. Yes.
Those are always very popular, the Storytime Classics. And for me also, like, that definitely is one of my favorites. Is a Chavez Yet? I like, you know, it's a good strip if you laugh every time you read it. Mm. For me, something also that tells me that a strip is going to be a really good one is when I'm laughing as I'm working on it, which happens, like, as I'm working on it, I'm like, this is really funny. then I know it's going to be a good one. But there's been a bunch, like, I can't, you know, that's the first one usually I think of like which one is like the best, you know, strip out there. And that's the thing. A lot of the times our favorite one is the one that had like tons of reader feedback and it's the funniest. Like, that's why it's like a lot under the same umbrella. And other ones that were very popular was like Pom Pom Yamako's one. Mm-hmm. There was also the New Yorker. That one was, you know, I was saying how I was like discussing this recently, and it's funny for me because I'm a New Yorker. I'm from Borough Park originally. And for me, this wasn't such a funny strip. I just like literally went into my brain. I'm like, okay, honey, let's get into Borough Park mode. Where is Williamsburg? Where can is, you know,
explain what the strip was?
Yeah, the parody.
Yeah.
Right,
so on the... yeah. Can you explain that? Cause you were the one that behind this. And like I said, you know,
I mean, it was a parody of, there's a very famous New Yorker cartoon that says a New Yorker's view of the world, and it shows, you know, New York up large, and there's some like vague other countries in the background.
So Florida. I love how Florida comes off of New York. That was like my favorite part of that one.
So we said, let's do a from version of this. Like, when from people think of the world, where does it start and end?
Right.
And I remember I have a relative who said, like, my brother-in-law looked at it. He said, everyone's going to love the strip, and New Yorkers are going to look at it and be like, oh, why are the Kichels printing a map? They're not going to get it. But we had, it was one thing worked. I put New York front and center. And I don't remember if it was Sean or Khani pointed out, like, no, today Lakewood is front and center. New York is on the map. Muncie's on the map. Then there are these random other out-of-town communities vaguely floating around. Yeah, we have, we have China next to some random country.
Detroit and Denver. Like, I know they're separate places.
Yes.
I haven't been to either, but like for a very long time, I literally thought they were the same place. Like growing up, I'm sorry, everybody. Like, I really like you all, but I just didn't know.
Right / Denver, because I always mix them up. And we got feedback from three other people, including someone from Denver, who said, "Why does everyone keep mixing us up with Detroit?"
That's hysterical.
I'm curious how you both, as Clevelanders, felt about the Cleveland being on top of the...
Where was Cleveland?
Oh, it's hilarious. By the North Pole.
The North Pole.
It's so far. Cold here.
It's accurate. I mean, there's snow.
Oh, okay, good. Like, that's because some people got very offended.
People got offended. The letters that you guys got, I mean, people got seriously. Yeah. They did not get the joke. No.
Right. Yeah. I also didn't really get the joke because I'm from New York.
But you wrote the joke.
This is true.
I'm an out-of-towner, and I'm proud, and I think... a lot of out-of-towners deep down believe in our innate superiority over
in-towners. I'm an out-of-towner. I was born in New York City, but I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, so I have a nice combination.
But the strip is making fun of your ignorance.
Right, and like New Yorkers are anyway proud of them. Like, everybody's okay. Like, and if, again, whenever people do get offended, just know it was definitely not our intention to offend anybody. Right. It's never been, you know, sometimes we'll get interesting letters that are very like, people thought very deeply into what we're like. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're trying our best. We're mothers. We have very busy schedules. As you see, we're like rushing these things and anything that it was definitely was never our intention. So we're trying to bring joy to people and definitely not hurt anyone's feelings. And we apologize if that happened.
We really don't get a lot of critical feedback. Even sometimes we'll put out a strip that I think is social commentary. I'm like, wow, I can't wait to generate discussion. And
crickets.
And then we don't. Yeah. Like, again, because we're making these points gently and with humor, and I think because people know the kichels and we are very careful about what we criticize and how, because we don't want to be, I think I view the kichels like a celebration of from culture, which we really are. Baruch Hashem, so proud and happy part of this community, and sometimes we'll point out things that we need improvement or from, but I think because it comes with that overall attitude of pride and just finding fun and humor in our culture, it goes over okay.
Love that. And by the way, just because you may not get a letter doesn't mean that people aren't having conversations about the strip at their Shabbos table. You know, I right. guarantee they are. So let's talk about what would you say was the most controversial episode, controversial strip. Chani, go first.
I don't know. I'm going to defer. Bracha, what do you think? Controversial?
I want to speak out to Mishpacha staff because, again, like, we're generally not so controversial. Like, sometimes we'll do a strip like, wow, we're going to get feedback. And we don't get as
so
much.
What did we were discussing the, for some reason, the men going shopping, we got some really angry letters from men.
Were they like, it's a zucchini and they're standing by the cucumber, that one?
Yeah. Like, now, like, there, if you notice, there was a man that was like a very expert pro shopper there also. Like, there's all types of men being featured. And somebody wrote to us, like, what if we would put a comic of like women changing a car tire? And I'm like, that's funny. Yeah. Like, we wouldn't know what we're doing either.
Yeah, we have a couple of male readers who are extremely sensitive at being poked fun of. We do try to keep track of things. Like, oh, we just said a male-female dynamic. Let's wait a little bit. Let's face it. We just bashed men. Now it's time to bash women. But we're equal opportunity mockery over here.
And look, if it leans a little bit more towards the female, sometimes it does, but we're women. We're women. We're writing. You know what I'm saying? So there is, like, we try our best, but no, sorry, guys.
Like, when we have, sometimes I'll buckle really Shabbos, we had Bachram a few weeks ago spent a lot of time talking about the kichel. So after Shabbos, like, you're not leaving before I get a strip out of you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was the Bachar Dira.
Your Bachar ones are spot on.
That was fantastic. The Bachar Dira was amazing.
Those were my Shabbos guests.
So you're basically a very astute observer of from culture.
You said it, not me. I'll take it.
Yeah, I mean, really.
I think it's accurate. I think that's an accurate way to describe it.
I think a better word to be desperate, deadline-seeking person who...
You pull it off.
Even the first strip that we wrote, as Chani pointed out, was about Shtuchim. That was taken straight from my sister, who was very funny and was dating at the time. When she was getting engaged, she's like, I think Rachi's going to have to get engaged. I'm not going to have any more material. But that was how my tradition of stealing material from the lives of my loved one was born.
That's cute.
They're perhaps I'm very tolerant.
What about that one with the it felt very controversial with the Shetel ad with single girls. Could you remind me about that?
Okay, that was one of my favorite strips, I guess. I liked it. I think it was kind of playing these ads you very often see. You deserve this. You deserve that. You deserve this luxury Shetel. And here we had an ad for a wig. And we said, because you deserve to be treated with respect, seated at the adult table,
yes,
given a raise, quoting a lot of the complaints that single women have about how they feel like they're treated as children, even though they're contributing members of adult society, just because they're not married. Mm. So people liked that strip. It went over well. A lot of men did not get it.
Hmm. Interesting.
They thought we did an ad. They like some men thought that there was literally like a shetel company, Silka, that like hired
Silka.
Us.
Silka,
that's
an ad.
Yes. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Silka or like wigs, just because you branched out into books and games, so maybe now you're branching out into the shetel business.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, any shetel companies want to add and want to give us free wigs, you know where to find us.
We've had people reach out about doing the kichels comic like for ads, and we don't do that. I'm saying like we keep just for the magazine. We don't advertise.
It makes sense.
Yeah, no, that
even
makes sense.
Even though it's fun. Yeah.
One of the comic strips that we felt like contained social commentary, and we were waiting to get feedback, and we got some feedback from people who loved it, but we didn't get people arguing about it.
Right.
What, the Silka one? Didn't you say there were some people that were upset though? No, you said? Not really.
No, that's just like I don't people what's happening.
Oh, okay.
Oh, like, where's the punchline? What's it called? I definitely want to hear more about your personal favorites and why, but we are just going to take a quick break to thank our sponsors.
So Town Appliance. Well, there are a number of appliance stores out there that are targeted to the firm customer. But if you're looking for the best, most reliable company that's been serving customers since 1979, then Town Appliance is your obvious choice.
Town Appliance also offers a price match guarantee, which means they will match any price of an authorized dealer. That's amazing. So check out our show notes for the link and contact information and get started on your new appliance shopping today with Town Appliance. So excited to tell you more about our episode sponsor, We by SR Play. Are you in the market for a swing set? Is your backyard looking a little bare? Look no further. This is the brand you want and the company that you want to work with.
My youngest, who's 4, was asking for a swing set. We don't have a swing set. And I'm like, I don't know. He's the last kid. Do we get a swing set for the last one? Well, if we do, I know where to turn. First of all, you want to work with a customer service team that's going to consider everything when you're buying a swing set. The size and layout of your yard, features, ages of your kids, the style that you want. We playgrounds are made of the top of the line vinyl and other materials and are customized to the needs and wants of your family. We plus you equals lasting fun. You'll find their contact information as well as website in our show notes. So something I love about Appaman is that they create clothes to help kids feel comfortable in their own skin, especially for those of us who have kids who are like a little sensory.
Absolutely.
This is really a great brand you need to know about. And I think it's actually really important with dress wear, especially such as suits, which, you know, can be stiff and uncomfortable. And you don't want your kid dreading putting on his suit for shul. You want him to be comfortable all Yom Tov.
Exactly.
So Appaman has an amazing washable collection of suits. This is a major game changer. No dry cleaning.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Absolutely. Yes. I also love their boys' core collection, which features those classics that you need for Yom Tov shopping, the belts, the dress shirts, the suits, etc., all in one place. How convenient. Mm-hmm. And if you are looking for new arrivals for boys and girls ranging from casual to special occasion, definitely check out appaman.com. We'll put their website link for you on our show notes.
Appaman is also your stop for everyday play, accessories, and swimwear. So keep that in mind as you're preparing for the spring and summer seasons.
And we've got a special gift for our listeners. Lucky you. Thank you, Appaman. DMC20 coupon code for 20% off, excluding the core collection, but everything else. Let's get you back to our DMC with Bracha and Chani. Okay, so now I guess we've talked a lot about some of our favorites. Do you have any? It's so impossible when people ask us what our favorite episode is, we're like, I don't know, I can't pick. So now I'm going to just be mean and do the same to you. Like, do you have a personal favorite episode? I did the same thing.
Same thing.
What is this? Do you have a personal favorite comic? And if so, why?
And can I just piggyback? Do you have a personal favorite comic and maybe a personal favorite character? Member of the Kichels family.
I don't think I have a personal favorite strip. There's some that I like and I enjoy more when I look at them. Often those are the text-heavy ones because I think text comes more naturally to me. I like we did one about modern art after the whole, do you remember there was this banana that was duct taped to a wall that sold for tens of thousands of dollars?
Yes, right. That was a great one.
It was just a script that wrote itself.
That was a great
and
one.
And that was just fun and it felt very different and fresh. It wasn't the same it was doing, so I enjoyed that one. I don't think I have a favorite strip, and I don't have a favorite character. Maybe Chani should cover her ears for this, but like, I don't think I identify with the characters so strongly. I think at this point they're fleshed out and they're developed. I love all of them so much that it's hard to choose.
There you go.
So for me, again, so like what we were saying before, the ones that come to mind as favorites are the ones that are really funny, popular as a Chavez yet, the Pom Pom Yarmulkes, a few of the Kosher Kitchen that were funny. But for me, I guess ones that I always look back and I enjoy are ones like it's funny, Bruchel, you're saying like the ones that are more text heavy. So for me, the ones that I spent like a lot of time on doing it from an interesting angle, a lot of different stuff going on where I have to like really put those perspective skills to work, and you were mentioning the modern art one. That's an example, I guess, of both. That was an example of that where it's like more complicated angle. I have to, a lot of times when there's like a busy scene, I have to work from above because I have to be able to like, we have to see the whole scene, see everybody that's going on. So there's definitely, you need to know, like there's rules involved and perspective. There's like a whole science to it in a mm-hmm. sense, but I love doing that stuff. I love the very detailed work. I can't do it every week. They do take me longer. So we definitely keep that in mind. And I always appreciate Bracha saying, okay, you did a really hard one. Now I'm going to send you a very easy one, you know, which usually means more work for her, but you know, that's kind of the, how it works. And in terms of favorite character, so again, I think that our stage is not like any one of these specific characters. Like, you know, we're in our, I hope it's okay to say, we're in our 30s. We're not at Nechama's stage. We're not at like young Chaiki's, like, you know, newly married. You know, I guess she has three kids, but she's in her 20s, we'd assume. So we're kind of in between everybody. And obviously there are characters that are more fun. You know, some of them have more like really strong personalities, like Chaviva. It's always a lot of fun with her. And some of them, you know, what?
Sorry? High school. I'm just clarifying.
Our high school, right. 100%. She's the high school girl. She has plenty of personality and a lot of fun. And something that comes up, which is not so much what you've asked, but like when we start thinking about characters, is that our characters don't really age because they're part of a comic. So we really like keep that in mind. And that's when all these questions come up. And I was always the one like, no, we can't do anything new. I don't remember like all this stuff that like, even the bar mitzvah that like, you know, Baruch had his bar mitzvah. I was like, are we sure
you
we want to
do that? Very hard time about Chaiki having a baby.
I did. I don't remember that. It could be, it makes sense. People say, why don't you do applying to seminary? So what happens if we apply Chaviva to seminary? That means she's moving out of high school. So that's great content right there, going to Eretz Yisrael, going to seminary. But then what happens? Does she come back after, does she stay stuck there for a really long time? Like it just puts like a timeline and then we lose that high school character. And we just, and also what happens now, there's going to be two sisters in Shaddachim.
That was my thought.
And also, right. And then Rachi also. So
that was the initial thought, like maybe to let Rachi get engaged and then quickly move Chaviva into Shaddachim.
Yeah, but do that.
I think that our characters are more, I guess, when you ask who's your favorite character, they're more stand-ins for stereotypes. We have the young harried mother. We have the girl in Shaddachim. We have the teenager. And so that's part of the reason why they don't age, which I think is fairly standard across the world of comics.
Don't change it just yet. You need the Bachar. You need him to stay in that stage. Was just keep making fun of Bachar.
At one point, we were getting like a lot of... We were getting like a lot of emails, people like, could Rachi please get married, whatever. So and like a certain, and like we almost had, we had a meeting at one point, I remember, like a mishpacha meeting, like, and I was like, you know what? I can't deal with the pressure. Fine. And all of a sudden everyone was like, well, no, we can't. I was like, I'll be like, then they're like, no, we can't let her get married because then whatever, this problem, that problem, that problem. I'm like, okay, you know what? It's not just me. You know,
We're having separation issues. What's the term? We need some therapy.
Separation anxiety. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. What have you learned about our community? Like, you know, the from community that we love, but that we also love to poke fun at. What have you learned about our community and starting communal conversations from your, or I guess, starting communal?
I think really the overall takeaway is that we're all the same. That's the feedback we keep getting. We are the Kichels. People tell me all the time. I always tell my kids, we are the Kichels. I'm Mrs. Kichel. And it's funny, the little things that people pick up on and say, oh, your family does that. I do that too. And I think there's just that's a lot of the engine that drives the kichels, that it's popularity. When we see the small things that we never even realized we're doing. I remember one of my high school teachers called my mother and she's like, your family also always went to the aquarium after it closed on Chol HaMoed. Just that. Those small details that have us feel this connection. And sometimes it's translated into deeper things. We got this letter once, I think, which was our favorite, probably our favorite email we've ever received from a woman who wrote that I believe she was a GRS and her husband's a Baal Tshuva. And she always felt like a little self-conscious. We're different. And you're showing us that we're just exactly like everyone else.
Like she would see everybody looking so perfect and having it all together. And when she read the kichel, she's like, wait, so everybody doesn't have it all together? Like abnormal? So that was very, very meaningful to us to get that letter.
That's incredible.
I think another takeaway is that we try very hard. We don't make fun of Torah. We don't make fun of mitzvah. So that's not what we're here to do. But sometimes we're here to make fun of or criticize from culture. But again, it's coming from a place of pride and love where we love our community and we love our culture. And sometimes there's good natured poking fun. And sometimes there's more serious introspective mockery. And I think you're able to do that mockery coming from a place of strength. Like when you're very defensive, people aren't receptive to it, or people can't even accept the criticism on their own. And that, again, we're putting out some strips that do contain social commentary and we don't get pushback. Because I think that what I'm saying is we have a community that has beyond, obviously, the framework of Torah Mitzvahs. We have from culture with all its idiosyncrasies and small things. And we have a community of people who are proud of it and enjoy it and take pride in it. And so we're all okay with this poking fun because it feels very internal. Like, you know, you can make fun of your siblings when you're all together, but no one else could make fun of your siblings to you.
Exactly.
And so I think we see that our community has that feeling, which is an amazing thing.
And I think that what you said, this is exactly, and I was thinking about it when you said it earlier too, like that is coming from a place of love. Like we it's our mishpacha, like we love our family, but mm-hmm. like, of course we're going to make fun of each other. That's what you do when you get together, you know?
Exactly.
And you've been able to achieve that tone. I think it's a fine line to walk, that, you know, self-criticism, but also laughing, but also making it completely okay without being too controversial. You just be able to really nail that, which I think is a great accomplishment.
I think we're also not like poking fun at other people. We're poking fun at ourselves.
Yes.
Like we're included in self-deprecating, you know, we're not saying we're not a part of this, you know, so that's also a piece here.
Sometimes people have asked, why don't the Kichels have Hasidish characters? Why don't you build them in? We would love to, but we don't want to poke fun of a community that we're not a part of.
That's interesting.
And even though I'm sure for many Hasidish people reading it, they can relate, so many of the things are universal.
Have you ever had, I'm so curious if like a non-Orthodox reader or if someone who wasn't from read this, like what they would think about the Kichels. Have you ever had that experience in any way?
I've gotten minimal feedback from people who aren't from, who someone sent me their comics, people enjoy it. I would be hesitant, honestly. I wouldn't want to hand this book to someone who isn't from. Maybe I should. I'm curious to hear your thoughts, but I, again, it's like the whole thing, when you're sitting around with your siblings, you all make fun of each other, but when there's someone else in the room, you're not making fun of each other. You're presenting a more unified, pride-filled front. So some of the very benign comics, of course, but the ones are societal criticism, they're not the comic strips I would write if it wasn't for Mishpacha.
Yes.
We did get very positive feedback from somebody who is out there in the, you know, secular publishing world, but familiar with the Frum community, though not necessarily like a part of it. Right now, we did get very positive feedback, like, and that meant a lot to us also, meaning like this is somebody that's familiar with, like this is like this person felt that this is on a very professional level.
Yes.
And, you know, that meant a lot to us.
That is really nice to see the quality work that you guys are producing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys just came out with your second board game, Kichelet, fabulous. Mm-hmm. You said you. Hanukkah time, you provide a book, you provide something that like families can buy, which is so obviously, I'd imagine this was not in the cards when you started this trial 3-month comic. You've created this like whole industry over here. So what's next? What's next for the Kichels?
So we do try to come out every Hanukkah with something Kichel related. So the first thing that we came out with was a book. And in the book, we tried to put somewhere, I mean, every book ranges a little differently, but around 70, 80 comics go into a book. So it's, you know, it's a little bit, it's like a year and a half worth of work. Closer to almost a year and 3/4. It's like I'm saying, it's under 2 years worth of work, but it's not like we could put out a book every single year. So the first book we put out, you know, that was already, I don't remember how long, let's say we were working like 2, 3 years, 3 years, whatever. The second year we were able also to just get out a book, like just get it out, just had enough. And then we decided to do, actually did the game, the game come out before the second book? I don't remember.
It was
maybe
just trying to remember also.
It probably did. Now I'm thinking it's possible. We put out a book and then we're like, okay, what are we doing this Hanukkah? I don't remember which one came out first. Whatever it is, we had that year that we were like, we don't have enough comics for a book, so let's try to do a game. And we worked with somebody really great in the toy industry, and I think he recommended which type of game to do, and we did that. And I remember when it came to doing a second game, I told Bracha, I'm like, listen, Twisted Kichels was amazing. We're never going to be able to get like that type of game again. It was just like incredible. So like, if it's almost as good, we should be happy, you know? And then like we researched different games that are out there and tried to come up with something. And I was very stuck on a certain game that like, I'm like, this is what we should do. And it's not going to be as good, but it's good. And then, you know, Bracha came like across this concept idea and we tweaked it and we changed it and everything. And I'm so glad she did, because that was what Kichelet became. And I was like amazed. People tell us that they like this game even better than the first. It was, again, and there's different, you know, some people like the first, some people like the second better. But again, it was like, it's not what I, going in, I did not think that we could do something on an equal level. So I'm grateful.
For next Hanukkah, we hope to, Bezos Hashem, release a book. We wouldn't do a book and a game the same year because they both take so much work. Like this game, versus picking a concept, developing the concept, writing the cards, and we give it out to testers. Rifki, you and your family tested the game.
We were testers. It was so fun.
Extremely helpful feedback that we implemented.
Oh, I'm so happy.
And
it's very interesting, though. I'm just going to mention, I was just going to say with the testing, how looking back by the second game, we look back at our testers' results from the first game. And there was like some of the results were like negative with the Twisted Kichel. Then we still went to go with, like, we still went ahead with it. Like, we're like, we think this could work. And so going into the second game, we felt better knowing that even like people, when they're going to be testing a game, they're going to be giving their criticism. They're going to be giving, and we want that. We want their critique. We want their feedback. But, you know, like if there's a good concept and, you know, it can really work well. It was just interesting to see, like, we're going into a game the second time, we're definitely more, we were more seasoned. We had experience with the first
game for people to test. And we asked them to rate it on a scale of 1 to 10. And it got a 6.5, which is not amazing.
And this is when people were testing.
But we made tweaks and we improved it. And then Barks and the Game went out and it was so popular. And this is just a truism that I quote all the time at work. When you're asking people to critique something, they put on their critical hat and they look for all the flaws.
Right.
That's a very different experience than working with a finished product than just having fun.
Yes, agreed. Agreed.
So, but yeah, the games take a lot of work, as do the books. Even though they're mostly pre-printed comics, we create original comic for each book. And then all the little things. We have to design a cover. We have to come to the cover concept. We have to write cover text.
Your directions, like, we got Kichlet. My husband's reading the directions, cracking up. He's like, the directions are the best part of this whole game.
Oh, thank right. you.
They got their it's true. Out. It's
and
really
then
fun.
Have to lay them out, which also is all the things you don't think about, but took you a few hours to lay out. And then what tagline?
So at this point, yeah, like at this point, so the people say, like, what do you do? What don't you do? So it's really us. This year, we got a little smarter and we got some people to help us also, let's say, with laying out all the cards. Like, every card for Kichelet needed to have 5 taboo words at the bottom. Like, that's just a lot of work. I'm not a graphic artist. Like, I can try to figure it out. And I did that. Like, the Twisted Kichels, we did 100% all the graphics, everything myself. So I still do the graphics, the design. Like, I'll design it and then we'll, like, with this game, with the second game, we gave it to somebody else to actually go do the physical, like laying out each card according to this direction. But it is helpful for our brand, like that it's, you know, it's my, like, I end up designing just the logo, like the whole, the box, everything, the different sides, you know, and it gives a certain cohesiveness to like the look overall that Kichels has a certain look. So yeah, and we're doing everything. It's really us too. And then for some of the things that take more time, we'll get a little help, but it is us too, you know, doing it.
It's maintaining incredible. The voice and the visuals of the brand. That sounds yeah. better than saying we're both control freaks.
Definitely.
So what are you working on next? Another game, another book, something else? I want swag.
Bracha said a book, I think.
Oh, I missed
yeah.
it. Yeah.
So we're working, but we didn't start working on it yet. We go closer to deadlines. That's us. But the deadline for a game or a book is in the summer. So it's not like closer June. To Hanukkah, because it has, yeah, like June, it has to go out. So it's really after Pesach that we're like, oh my goodness, we better get our act together, you know, and we start working on it. And I will just say that, like, also the games and the books, like, we both work full time outside of this. So right. it's like all happening in like spare time that we don't have.
Right.
So that's also just part of it. But you started to ask something else.
No, I was just, I missed that it was a book that you're doing next when I asked.
What right. That's excellent, because now we have another opportunity to mention it. Like, did all of your listeners hear that we're
it's a book.
Publishing a book next, Hanukkah? Like, you can have extra time to get their credit cards ready.
Well, now it's like pre-Purim on our schedule. I totally see people dressing up as the Kichels for Purim. Have you seen that before?
Yeah, we always get a few pictures or Kichel-themed shalchmanis, which is so much fun. It's just like shopping nachas. It's so nice cute. To see.
You've really made it into from culture if you've got people making shelf monos.
We see in schools also, people send me pictures of like their school, like hallways. People like will do a Kichels theme for whatever reason, whether it's writing related or nice. The month, like Adar or something. And like, it's amazing to see. Like, I love seeing people will sometimes do for, usually people like reach out and they ask, is it okay if they want to do, make a Kichels for their yearbook? It's going to print or something. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, sure, we love that. We love seeing it also. Like, definitely, if you're doing, you reach out, we say, yeah, like, great, send it to us. It's real nachas for us to see what, you know, what people come up with.
That, yeah, where your creativity then inspires creativity in others. It's so nice.
Really amazing.
This has been such a fun DMC, and I am very sad that it's coming to an end. Before we say goodbye, could you just share a little bit with us and the Kichel fans out there, any final messages before we say goodbye?
I think it boils down to a lot what we said before, that a message would be just to remember that we're all the same. Like, we really, really are all the same. Everybody's going through similar things. We all struggle with a lot of similar things. And it's really comforting to know that and to remember that. And also, I always like to say, like, you know, it's good to laugh, it's not to take things too seriously, to find the humor in the moment. And again, you know, if somebody, like, if you're finding yourself like getting, and again, it doesn't happen often that people get offended or something, but like, I feel like it's really healthy to just be able to laugh at oneself. And it helps me. For me, it's great because this is my job. Like, I'll be in a frustrating situation and I can put on my Kichel lens and kind of see the humor in the situation, and maybe it'll result in a strip, you know, and often it's like, it could. So that it's just like a good, like, coping mechanism with just the everyday life struggles that come up.
That's nice. Great.
Yeah, I think, build on that, I think humor is such a valuable tool in helping you get through life, whether it's laughing at the small mishaps throughout your day, or the small things that go wrong, or even when bigger things go wrong. Like, when you're able to look at it with a humorous frame, you're kind of empowering yourself, saying, you don't have control over me, I'm taking back the control. And it could be it's just a really great tool in life to get through the big things and the small things. We don't touch the big things and the kichels, because it could feel callous or could feel hurtful, but we've touched on other painful things, school acceptances.
You have.
We didn't do it with high school. We did it with playgroup because it's less personal there.
Yeah.
Shidduchim, and there's a lot of painful life circumstances. And I think when you're able to find the humor and laugh, it's very, very empowering and really giving you the tools to tackle it in a serious way as well.
Beautiful.
Fabulous. Well, thank you both, Bracha and Chani, for giving us this real, you know, behind the scenes in terms of your creative process and what, from your perspective, what you've been able to achieve with the Kichels. I, as everyone knows, I'm a huge fan. I know Rivki is too. And really want to wish you continued hatzlacha and clarity on it before the deadline as you continue to really churn these out. It's amazing that you're able to accomplish this every single week, and you have a huge fan base. It should continue.
I mean, thank you.
Oh, I just love hearing all these behind the scenes and just getting a little peek into the window of the creative process of, like, such incredibly talented women, such incredibly perceptive women, and just, like, to hear just the humanity behind all of it, you know, and the reality that deadlines really are what make the world go around, you know. Definitely felt fangirling a little bit over the course of the interview. But one of the things that really stuck out the most to me was just, like, that unifier of, like, we are all the same. You know, we're all going through stuff. We're all going through a lot of the same stuff, you know, and there's certain common experiences that bond us as Jewish people, no matter where we live. Do you know what I mean? And I love that kind of connectivity that the comic strip provides, you know, and that feedback that they got from the couple where the woman was a Gioras and the husband was Balchuva, and it made them feel so normal. And I was like, oh my gosh, what a gift. Like, that's such
a very, very
powerful
special
moment, you know?
Yeah. And I think, like, the success to content creation is relatability, and they've mastered that. Also, I found it very interesting, and I think I see this theme in our last number of guests, starting with Siri Price and the official Mira, is, and now these ladies.
And thank you, Hashem.
And right. And
well, I guess I don't know what you're going
to
say.
Well, yeah. Well, I have to think about that in a second. After, okay. You'll tell me after, okay. I share this with you.
I shouldn't have jumped in. Sorry.
And no. Chani and Bracha. What I see is the theme of women not necessarily intending to start out doing something big.
Yeah.
Like, we have an idea. We're going to go for it. In this case, Chani and Bracha were like, this is a trial period. It's not like we're going to do this huge thing. And they weren't even sure what their goals were when they set out, or even how it was going to play out. But Hashem has a plan. If something's going to be successful, Hashem is going to roll with it, you know?
Exactly.
And I really appreciate that about the two of them. And also just the behind the scenes, I didn't realize the level of collaboration. Yeah. Like, I love how Hani speaks so passionately about some of these topics as if like these are dear to, you know, they're near and dear to her heart. And she's able, together with Bracha, that they have this like exchange of ideas where it's not like I'm in my lane and I'm in my lane and we can't talk to each other. It's like, Bracha will have an idea for the illustration. Hani will have an idea for a topic. And that's wonderful teamwork. And I love to see that partnership.
Absolutely.
Here's this episode's takeaway. Try to look at your next challenging life circumstance with a Kichel's lens. One last thank you to Town Appliance for being our podcast sponsor. You don't need to think too hard or make things more complicated for yourself when you're looking for a new home appliance. Maybe your oven just broke. We have all been there.
I've been there twice in 10 years.
Twice? Too much, yeah. Too much. Or you're renovating your entire kitchen. You need all new appliances. The obvious choice for any of your appliance needs is Town Appliance.
And why support a big box store when you can support a Jewish company and also benefit from their 40 plus years of customer service designed for the religious customer? It's a win-win. Town Appliance is truly the obvious choice. So check out our show notes for the contact information. One last shout out to our episode sponsor, We by SR Play. We playground structures are of the highest quality and safety standards, and their customer service provides expert planning, working carefully with your space. They ship across North America and even make yard calls in New York and New Jersey. With We, you can plan every detail of your playset. The experience is truly customized. It's not just like, you know, prefab housing. It's like you get the swing set you want. They'll help you design a play structure based on your preferences and budget. Please check out our show notes for the link and contact information. You know, when you're browsing a website looking for clothes for your kids, well, one of the things I'm looking for is style plus comfort, right? It's like those two things together. And you can just tell whether it's the print or the cut when something looks like it's going to deliver those things.
Right.
Appaman has a beautiful collection of stylish, trend-setting, and quality clothing. It just pops off the screen.
Yes. I'm also looking, by the way, for good shipping and return policy.
Oh, yes.
Because I'm often at that post office doing my returns. And I don't want to waste money, not be able to return something, or miss a window.
The worst.
So the worst. A lot of websites have 7 days, which is really tight. Appaman.
Especially when you live out of town.
Yes.
Not feasible.
Yeah. Appaman has a 30-day return policy.
Amazing.
So incredible. So, oh, also shipping is free for U.S. orders over $50.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in addition to those great things, there's nothing better than a coupon code. Appaman is giving 20% off for DMC listeners. The code you want to use is DMC20 at checkout. We will include that as well as their website link in our show notes. Okay, one more episode until our pre-Pesach episode. You got that, ladies? Take a deep breath right now. We're in the zone. We are feeling in the mood for some chizik from Eretz Yisrael, so we've invited Nina of Yonina Music. Her husband has been serving in the reserves, and we're looking forward to discussing her experience being an Eishes Chayil, the wife of a reservist. So please join us.
If you're a fan of DMC, please consider donating to support the work we do. We've added a way for listeners to make a small monthly donation on our website. Please check out our show notes for those details, as well as a link to our new WhatsApp group. And thank you to all of our listeners who've been taking time to send us emails, share feedback. You can too. Our email is dmcthepodcast@gmail.com, and we'd love to hear from you. See you next episode.